Now let's look at a key man insurance, a very important insurance for a company to protect itself against loss of their key employees. The key man insurance protects a company from losing money due to losing a key employee, either because of his death or becoming seriously ill. The key man insurance provides various benefits: financial stability despite crucial employees dies or becomes incapacitated. It can continue operations smoothly, ensuring the business continuity. It can win investors and lenders' confidence by proactively managing risk. Next important high policy is the double endowment policy. When we talk about double endowment policy, the basic sum assured is paid on the death of the insured. However, if the life insured survives to the end of the term, double the sum assured is payable. Premiums are quoted according to the endowment period, irrespective of the age at entry. Yet another type is fixed term marriage endowment plan. Those who want to have some corpus for the marriage, suitable for those who want to make a provision for a certain sum for the marriage of a female dependent, as the sum assured is payable at the end of stipulated period. Premium payment ceases after the death of the insured during the policy period, but the policy will remain fully paid until the maturity date. Education annuity plan. This is specifically for the education of the children. It's suitable for those who want to make a provision for the education of children, as the sum assured is payable in equal installments over some time. Once again here, the premium payment ceases after the insured's death, as in-bill benefits like premium waiver benefits exist. Insured can opt for additional riders such as the critical illness benefit, accidental benefits, etc. We will see these additional riders in more detail in subsequent slides. And progressive protection plan with profits. In this case, the sum assured will automatically increase by a certain percentage at the end of a certain term, irrespective of the insured's state of health. Only first-class lives are accepted under this plan. The mortgage redemption assurance policy, specifically for those who take a mortgage loan. The mortgage redemption assurance policy without profits plan helps the insured pay out his loans and debts automatically. The insured pays outstanding loan upon the insured's death. The insured has to undergo a medical examination. The policies bear no surrender value, and the insured can't get any loan on the policy because it's specifically meant for a repayment of loan. There is a very important provision in the Married Women's Property Act 1874, specifically Section 6. What does it say? If the policyholder, that is the married man, forms a trust with the insurer specifically for the benefit of his wife or his wife and children, in that case, the maturity proceeds from the policy goes directly to the wife and children under Section 6 of the Married Women's Property Act 1874. The policy proceeds are protected from husband's creditors, court attachments, and even the insured. Such policies cannot be surrendered. The insured cannot make nomination nor assignment of the policy. Thus, the policy creates a secure financial shield for the wife and children and safeguard their future. Then there is a children deferred endowment assurance plan. A parent, guardian, or near relative or a child takes an insurance policy on the child's life, under which the proposer pays the premium during the first few years and by the life assured thereafter. This endowment plan allows the payment of a lower premium since the premium paying period is significantly longer. The insured can decide the period of commencement of the policy. Single premium policy is best suited for those who want to pay premium in one shot. It's more suitable for those persons who have unpredictable, uneven, or seasonal income streams and a lump sum amount to pay as a premium. They may not prefer paying regular premiums. A single premium allows the insured to make a one-time provision of safety for his near and dear ones and avoid periodical payments. The single premium policy gives an advantage of selecting professionally managed equity, debt, and other market investments, more specifically in market-linked policies. Insurer can receive all the premium in advance and make additional income. So there is a benefit for the insurer also. The another type of policy is level premium policy. Generally, the premium is lower at a younger age and higher at an older age. However, the level premium remains, the premium is kept constant and does not vary with age. A level premium is set to cover the lower risk at a younger age and a higher risk at an older age. It's an average of premium at a younger and higher age. There are different tax benefits on life insurance policy, more so Section 80C and Section 10, subsection 10D of the Income Tax Act of 1961 to an individual as well as an HUF. A life insurance policy issued before 1st of April 2012 with a premium payable exceeding 20% of the actual sum insured. In that case, maturity proceeds are taxable in the hands of the insured. A life insurance policy issued on or after 1st of April 2012, premium payable exceeds 10% of the sum assured, and maturity proceeds are taxable. So these are the new provisions that are made for taxation of the life insurance proceeds. A life insurance policy issued after 1st of April 2013 on the life of a person with a disability or a disease specified under Section 80U and 80DB, the death benefit is generally tax exempt under Section 10 subsection D regardless of the premium payment. So all these things have to be kept in mind, more specifically when you buy a life insurance policy for availing the tax benefits. Now we focus on the non-conventional policies. Up till now, we were more or less discussing on conventional, the traditional policies or the conventional policies. Now, the non-conventional policies are also very important. Here, this type of policies satisfies the policyholder's requirement of buying an insurance along with the saving component. Now, let's look at non-conventional policies. We have learned about conventional policies. Their main focus is on protection at early death or living too long. What is the focus of non-conventional? Non-conventional policies or non-traditional policies are not bound by traditional methods because they are marketed to a specific category of people who want, in addition to protection at early death or living too long, they want a saving component inbuilt within the policy. And hence, lots of innovation and creativity is required for designing and marketing non-conventional policies. For example, newer plans may not insist on medical exams, take higher risk, provide graded benefits and guarantees. Non-conventional policies can also create attractive features that cater to the majority of the population who are also interested in gaining value, because in addition to protection, they want their money to grow. And this value can be gained by having a special premium plan. New insurance products like unit-linked insurance plans gives the insured both insurance as well as investment options. Now let's look at what unit-linked insurance plan, that is ULIPs, are. A unit-linked insurance plan is suitable for people who are willing to take risk because this money or the premium is invested into market-linked product, as opposed to those who prefer traditional insurance products and safety with investments in specific secured products. Allows the insured to pay a premium for buying insurance coverage and grows their wealth. The concept of linking insurance with investment funds was first developed in UK in 1960. However, ULIPs were introduced in India by the Unit Trust of India in 1971. The ULIP premium has three main components: the expenses to cover the operational expenses of the insurer, the mortality takes care of the cover, life insurance cover, and the investment option, which is the fund administration charges for investing and taking care of the money that is invested in the market. ULIP policies are determined by units credited to the policyholder's account. So rather than getting a policy like a conventional traditional policy, ULIP policies are in the form of units. The value of these units is determined by net asset value, popularly known as the NAV, which reflects the value of the funds invested in the equity or the debt instruments. ULIPs allows the insured to switch between different kinds of debt, balance and equity funds based on his preferences, and the insurer does not guarantee the return. The entire risk is with the insured. Now, there are certain tax benefits on the premiums. The insurance amount is based on the premium contributed by the insured, and the claim amount would be either higher of the sum assured or the fund value standing in the insured's account. So this benefit can be taken by the insured. By investing in a ULIP, insureds can claim tax benefits. Once again, under Section 80C of the Income Tax Act 1961, they can claim tax deduction for the premiums for life insurance policies, including ULIPs, up to Rs. 1.5 lakhs. So this provision depends upon the annual budget presented by the finance minister. For ULIPs purchased before April 1, 2012, the tax deduction can be availed if the premium is less than 20% of the sum assured. Premiums paid are eligible for tax benefits up to 20% of the sum assured. For ULIPs purchased after April 1, 2012, the tax deduction can be availed if the premium is less than 10% of the sum assured. That means premium paid are eligible for tax benefits up to 10% of the sum assured. There are tax benefits on maturity. ULIP plans are aligned with stocks or equity-oriented mutual funds. So, what does that mean? The long-term capital gains, that is period of holding more than 12 months, will attract 10% on gains above rupees 1 lakh. Short-term capital gains, that is period of holding assets or securities less than 12 months, it would be 15% on the gains. Section 10, the subsection 10D of the Income Tax Act 1961 has a special provision in which the amount received by the nominee upon the insured person's death is tax-free. The amount a nominee receives upon the policy of death in a ULIP would also be tax-exempt. Now let's understand the pension and the annuity plans. Pension and annuity plans covers the risk of living too long by providing the retired people the means to pay for their continued living expenses without a regular income. Here, this plan has to be planned right when these individuals are working, so they can put little premiums into this cover so that when they are retired, they have something to take care of their living expenses. It encourages the prospects to contribute small chunks of money to a pension scheme until retirement or early death. The accumulated funds are used to buy an annuity plan. The pension annuity plans provide various retirement plans based on the corpus created in the pension scheme. The insurance company invests this amount on behalf of the policyholder. In an annuity plan, the insurance company makes regular periodic payments to the annuitant after retirement per the plan's terms. So when we talk about these pension plans, this has certain phases. The first one is the accumulation phase, wherein individual makes regular contribution or even lump sum contribution. The insurance company invests this contribution on client's behalf. If an individual chooses a traditional pension plan, most of the funds are invested in government securities, whereas in a unit-linked retirement plan, the individual chooses to invest the funds. He can also switch between an equity debt or a balanced fund. In a regular annuity plan, once the funds are accumulated, the individual can decide to buy an annuity from the accumulated funds after retirement. That is an option for permutation. The best part of this plan is the facility to make a tax-free withdrawal up to one-third of the accumulated funds before receiving the regular annuity payments. Now let's focus on the annuities. Life annuities provide annuity payments from the insurer throughout the annuitant's life. Investors can avail two types of annuity. One is immediate, second is deferred. When we talk about immediate annuity, this annuity becomes payable immediately. In terms of deferred annuity, annuity becomes payable after a certain period. In joint life annuities, after the first annuitant's death, the last survivor will receive the annuity. In case of term annuities, the annuitant can receive an annuity for a guaranteed period. Increasing annuity plans have a provision wherein the annuity increases every year by a fixed percentage with the rise in the inflation index. The annuity may be purchased on a single or a periodic premium payment basis. Now let's look at the taxability of the pension from life insurance. The pension from an annuity life insurance plan is taxable under the Income Tax Act 1961. Insured can claim a tax deduction for the premium again under Section 80C and Section 80CE of the Income Tax Act 1961. In case of family pensions, that is a pension paid to surviving family members after a pensioner's demise, these are also taxable. However, families can claim a deduction of one-third of the pension amount or ₹15,000, whichever is less, as per the old tax regime. The new tax regime's limit is one-third or ₹25,000, whichever is less. For senior citizens, that is aged 75 years and above, there is a special provision made. Senior citizens with only pension and interest income and more specific criteria are exempt from filing returns, income tax returns under Section 194B of Income Tax Act 1961. Now let's look at the group insurance policy. When we talk about group insurance policies, these are generally preferred by employers for their employees. These group insurance policies provide insurance protection to a group of people. It provides provided to the societal form and informal sectors. Insurers issue one master policy covering all the group members. The employer would be known as the master policy holder, and the employees are not a direct party to the insurance contract. So the entire arrangement is between the employer and the insurer. Underwriting is based on the assessing the group's risk and not on the individual lives. The group must be homogeneous and not formed for the purpose of availing insurance. There must be a minimum participation in the group, and entry and exit of members in the group may go on continuously, but entry into the group should be properly defined. So these are the specific requirements to be met in case of the group insurance policy. Government also uses group insurance scheme to cover the masses. The master policies can be contributory plans, in which the employee pays a share of the premium. In case of non-contributory plans, the employee does not contribute to the premium. IRDAI has specific guidelines. The IRDAI Protection of Policyholders' Interests, Operations and Allied Matters of Insurance and Regulations 2024 provides finer details about group insurance policies. Now let's look at the life insurance riders. This is over and above the terms that are set in the life insurance policy. The life insurance riders enables the insured to get additional coverage over and above his or her basic life insurance policy. Instead of buying different policies, the insured can get a customized life insurance policy covering various aspects of insurance within the life insurance policy. There are most common riders like the accident, death, permanent disability rider, the critical illness rider, the guaranteed insurability rider, or the term rider, or the waiver of premium rider, or the spouse insurance rider. Let's look at this one by one. First, the accidental death or permanent disability rider. This rider covers risk of death or permanent disability. In case of death or permanent disability, the insured can get benefits in the form of payment of a certain amount periodically and waiver of future premiums. In case of critical illness rider, the rider covers the risk of critical illness. There are certain specified illness that are identified, and if a specified critical illness is diagnosed during the policy period, the insured receives a lump sum amount for the treatment. In case of the guaranteed insurability rider, insured can buy additional cover at various stages of life without further medical examination. In case of term riders, the insured's nominee can get payment of a certain amount over and above the basic amount payable on the death cover. In case of waiver of premium rider, the insured can get a waiver of premium in case of disability. And in case of a children's plan, after the untimely death of the parent, the child does not have to pay the premium to continue the policy. In case of the spouse insurance rider, the spouse gets the insurance coverage without purchasing a separate insurance policy. So friends, this covers different types of insurance policies. Now let's move towards a very special unit of this chapter pertaining to life insurance, that is alterations in insurance policy. The insurer may allow alterations in certain terms of the policies upon request by the policyholder. However, such alterations are permitted generally only after 1 year of the policy commencement. So, what are these alterations and why are they required? This can happen because of different reasons, like the insured may get married or some other purposes of alterations could be possible, but this should be acceptable to the insurer, and the insured is supposed to follow the guidelines for that. Now, let's look at the what happens in case the policy is lost or damaged, whether a duplicate policy can be issued. Insurer can issue a duplicate policy to the insured on request. However, the insured is required to follow a procedure before a duplicate policy is issued. Suppose no objections are lodged with the insurers until a certain period. In that case, the insurer will have to issue the duplicate policy to the insured with proper safeguards such as the indemnity bond and other documentation from the insured. The newspaper advertisement and the indemnity bond may not be taken by the insurer if there is a proof of destruction of the policy by fire, loss of policy in the custody of the government official, or under any circumstances deemed fit by the insurer. Now, having understood this alteration and how the duplicate policy is issued, now let's enter into a very important aspect of life insurance, that is how life insurance can be used as a financial planning tool. After understanding the different types of life insurance policies, what happens after the issuance of policy? In case some changes needs to be made in the policy, for that reason, we need to understand alterations in insurance policy. The insurer may allow alterations in certain terms of policies upon request by the policyholder. However, such alterations are permitted generally only after 1 year of the policy's commencement. The insurers generally permit certain alterations, like alterations in name, class, or term, reduction in sum assured, mode of payment of premium, alterations from without profit plan to with profit plan, corrections in policies, settlement option of payment of sum assured by installments, grant of accident benefit, grant of premium waiver benefit under children deferment and movement assurance policies, alteration in currency and place of payment of policies monies. Now let's look at what happens when the policy is lost or damaged. For that reason, the insurer has to issue a duplicate policy. Insurer can issue a duplicate policy to the insured on request. However, the insured is required to follow a procedure before the duplicate policy is issued. Suppose no objections are lodged with the insurers until a certain period. In that case, the insurer will have to issue the duplicate policy to the insured with safeguards such as the indemnity bond and other documentation from the insured. A newspaper advertisement and indemnity bond may not be taken by the insurer if there is a proof of destruction of policy by fire, loss of policy in the custody of a government official, or under any other circumstances deemed fit by the insurer.